إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد. Today is the concluding installment of our lecture, What is our brand? And today is the last element of our brand. And that last element of our brand is that we are a people with a purpose. We are a people with a purpose. My brothers and sisters, this element of our brand is also the basis of love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiated us from the rest of mankind and called us khayra ummah. In the famous ayat of Surah Al Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas, ta'muruna bil ma'rufi wa tanhauna anil munkari wa tu'minuna billah. Which means you Muslims are the best of peoples ever raised up for the benefit of mankind. And you enjoin al-ma'ruf, which is all that Islam has ordained. And you forbid al-munkar, which is all that Islam has forbidden. And you believe in Allah. He, Jalla Jalaluhu, told us the reason why he differentiated us and gave us this title of honor, because he gave us a job. To be a source of benefit for all of mankind. Please listen carefully. Allah did not say, Ukhrijat lil muslimin. He did not say, we have selected you as a source of benefit for the Muslims. He said, Ukhrijat lin nas. He said, we have selected you as a source of benefit for annas, which is all of humankind, wherever they may exist. And that, therefore, this is a measure of our love for all of humanity, that it is the purpose of our existence that we should ceaselessly work to benefit them. The biggest benefit is to save them from the hellfire where they will go if they die without Islam. Helping them consists of establishing a way of life on earth that guarantees freedom and dignity and honor for all people. A way of life that gives rights and privileges to people and which guarantees their safety and security. Helping them consists of ensuring that they are introduced to their Creator and the message that He sent through His messengers, alayhimu salam, and through His messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, there is a universal law in this life, and that universal law is that privilege comes with territory. Contribution defines territory. I will repeat that. Privilege comes with territory, but contribution defines territory. How big is your territory depends on how big is your contribution. And how big is your territory will define how many privileges you have. How many privileges you have. A district collector, a district administrator has a certain amount of privileges because he administers one district. The prime minister of the country has higher privileges because he's responsible for the whole country, not for one district. So therefore, privilege comes with territory, but contribution defines territory. My brothers and sisters, when we stop contributing, we lose the territory and the privilege that goes with it. You see this all around us. Civilizations rise and fall on this basis. Those who are net contributors survive and grow as long as they continue to contribute. When they change their status and become net consumers, they decline and die. And they are replaced by those who contribute. Like all universal rules, this applies to everyone, including Muslims. Take the issue of language, for example. Ask yourself why English language has become the global language and it took over from Arabic. Ask yourself, what is the word in Arabic or Urdu for nanotechnology? What is the word for microwave oven? What is the word for telephone? What is the word for aero engine? What is the word for internal combustion engine? What is the word for air pollution? I can go on ad infinitum. You do not have words. The words that you have are derivatives. The words you have are things that you have chopped up and joined together to create a word with a meaning. It is not an original word. You are taking the English word and you are translating it into Urdu or Arabic. You're chopping up your Urdu or Arabic words and joining them together to create a meaning of that English word. The original word is in English. Why? Because that is the language of the people who contribute. Let us open our eyes. What is the good of talking about the fact that the origin of words in science and technology were taken from Arabic centuries ago, except as a lament for what happened to this ummah? My brothers and sisters, language belongs to those who contribute. And those who own the language, own the debate. Those who own the language, own the dialogue. Those who own the language, own the narrative. And that is our fate. And that is good news, it's not bad news, because if that is our fate, if that is how we got into this mess, we also can get out of this mess. And what is required for that? Only one thing. And that one thing is a four-letter word. What is the four-letter word? W-I-L-L. The will to get out. That's all that's required. The will to get out. Are you serious about this? Or are you among those who like to talk about this in your drawing rooms or in the wedding halls or somewhere, and you go yaka 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 about what is happening to the Muslim Ummah, and you say, brother, but fine, alhamdulillah, all of this is true. What are you willing to do about that? No, not me. What can I do? Decide for yourself where you want to be. My brothers and sisters, we need to learn to take from Allah and give to the people. Always focus on your contribution, not on privilege and entitlement. As long as you contribute, privilege and entitlement will follow. You don't have to ask for them, much less to struggle and fight. And if you stop contributing, then privilege and entitlement will not come, even if you struggle and fight. One is related to the other in a relationship of cause and effect. If you want to benefit from the effect, you have to fulfill the cause. That is the universal law. Like gravity, like thermodynamics, you ignore it at your own peril. My brothers and sisters, we can only give what we have. So how can we invite towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are ourselves disconnected from Allah? Ask this question. How can we invite towards Allah when we have no connection to Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this dunya and He made some fundamental laws to govern it. These laws don't change for anyone. One of those fundamental laws is you get what you make effort for. You get what you work for. So let us ask ourselves, what am I working for? I want each of you to ask this question to yourself. What are you working for? Remember, you can only lie to yourself. You can only fool yourself. Because everyone else knows what you're really working for if they simply look at your life. So ask yourself, what are you working for? And please remember that work is that which can be measured. What cannot be measured is not work. In this dunya, a person gets what he works for. And that is why there is such a premium in all cultures on hard work. People understand this principle very well because they see its effect in their lives. Sure, we should work smart, but smart is not a substitute for hard, as some of our motivational gurus would have us believe. Smart working merely means working hard in smart ways, not working hard in dumb ways. That's the only difference between smart and hard. But you know, in Islam, we believe in magic. We believe that iman will somehow magically enter our hearts without working for it. Please understand, there is no magic. Magic is haram. Forget magic. Look at reality. The reality is, if we want to earn, we have to work for it. Whether it is dunya or whether it is akhirah. If we want our iman to be strengthened, we have to work on that iman. Same fundamental principle that applies. And that principle is, you get what you make effort for. أَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى قَالَ عَلَيْهِ قَالَ جَلَّ وَعَلَى. And therefore ask ourselves, how much effort am I making to strengthen my iman? My brothers and sisters, in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا. Allah said, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا آمِنُوا. He said, oh you who believe, believe. Ajib, the words of the Quran. If you say, oh you who believe, I already believe. Now what more is there to believe? But obviously there is more to believe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking our attention from iman, as in talking about it, to yaqeen, as is in our khulub, as is in our hearts. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu aminu. My brothers and sisters, you also know that any ayat which begins with Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, the direct address of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu, is a hukum. It is an order, it is an instruction to be obeyed. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu aminu, let us ask ourselves, what is this level of my iman? Iman, our iman, my brothers and sisters, has become so weak that the dunya has overcome the akhirah. The concern for the thing which will be finished has overcome the concern for the thing which is everlasting. The fani has become more important than the baqi. Iman has become so weak that asbab have overcome amal. And that is why amal have become a burden. Iman has become so weak that our faith on things and means and material of this dunya has overcome our tawakkul ala Allah. How many of us do not even know the meaning of tawakkul and have never tasted its sweetness? What a miserable way to live in this world. As the ulama say, at-tawakkul ala al-asbab huwa shirk. To have faith in the asbab is shirk. How many of us are committing shirk in our hearts? Because we have faith on the asbab and we have no faith on the khaliqul asbab. My brothers and sisters, our iman has become so weak that the rivaj and the custom and the practice and the so-called traditions have overcome the sunnah. We break the sunnah, we go against the sunnah because we want to follow the riwaj and the customs and the practice of this country and that country and this culture and that culture, and we import into our lives things which are either openly and completely haram, or these are things which certainly are not something which will give us any reward. And the sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ is something that we like to stand and talk about on a platform which we have called for Jalsa Rahmatulil Alameen. Beyond that, there is no value for the sunnah. Please, these are the signs of hypocrisy. Be aware of them and run away from them. My brothers and sisters, we mention and talk about, and what we mention and talk about and praise, listen carefully, what we mention and talk about and praise becomes real. What we do not mention disappears. In one of the African tribes, I think it was the Zulus, they used to have a system where when somebody was sentenced to death for some crime, when someone was sentenced to death, they did not actually kill the person. Right? They didn't cut off his head or anything. They just ignored the person. The whole tribe would just ignore the person. If the person said salam, they would not say wa alaikum as-salam. The person greeted them, they would not greet him. They would not look at him. If he came in front of them, they would look away. They wouldn't take his name. They would completely ignore him because they said he is dead. And they used to say that a week later, maybe 3-4 days later, the man would actually die. He would just die because he was ignored. Ask ourselves, what is the state in our hearts? Because in our majalis, in our homes, there is no mention of the ghaib or of the promises of Allah. There is no mention of the akhirah. There is no mention of Jannah or Jahannam. There is no mention of amal which will take us to either place. May Allah save us from Jahannam. There is no mention of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There is no mention of the messenger of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu. There is no mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself except on ceremonial occasions. No wonder that the Khans of Bollywood, cars and clubs and Disney and McDonald's are more real to us than Abu Bakr and Umar and Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas and Khalid ibn al-Walid radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. My brothers and sisters, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the famous hadith, the one who says kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah with ikhlas will enter Jannah. The Sahaba Ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in asked him, they said, Ya Rasulullah, what is the ikhlas of the kalima? He said, the ikhlas of the kalima is that it protects him from haram, that it stops him from haram. So let us ask ourselves, the kalima that we claim to have said, does it have ikhlas in it? According not to my criterion, this is not my fatwa, this is the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Did Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam know what he was talking about? When he gave a criterion to measure the sincerity and ikhlas of the kalima, do you think he knew what he was talking about? You decide. If you think he knew what he was talking about, then take your kalima and measure it. And say, in my life, in the last 1 year, how many things have I done which I know to be wrong? Just because of peer pressure and this pressure and that pressure, I know it is wrong, but I still do it. And even though I know what is the right thing to do, but I don't do that. Is this the ikhlas of my kalima? Ask yourself, because a day will come when the malaika will come for you. And they will come for me. And that day the only thing which will save you is the ikhlas of the kalima. The only thing which will save you is the ikhlas of the kalima. Other than that, nothing else will save us. My brothers and sisters, what kind of iman do we have? Ask yourself this question. What kind of iman do we have? Is this the kind of iman with along with it there is lying and cheating and ghiba and dealing with interest and gambling and alcohol and fornication? Not only do these sins exist side by side with our claims about iman, but there is also no hatred in our hearts for these sins. And neither do we have the strength to save ourselves from these sins. What kind of iman is this? Is this the iman that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam worked so hard to inculcate in his sahaba? Now do you see why our dua is not accepted? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not take anything which is adulterated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts only that which is pure. One person came and did ghiba before Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You have not believed in the Quran." The man said, "Ya Rasulullah, I have believed in the Quran." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The man who considers what the Quran made haram to be halal has not believed in the Quran." One more criterion, one more meter to test our iman and our faith. My brothers and sisters, my job is to inform you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is witness, and all of you are witness before His arsh on the day of judgment, that I have informed you that I do not mince any words when I speak to you. I don't try to be polite and nice. I say what needs to be said as powerfully and as clearly as I know how. Beyond that, it is not my responsibility. If you want to start your day every morning by destroying the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on your face, that is your decision for which you will pay. If you want to have your weddings of your sons and daughters in ways which have been prohibited by Islam, that is your decision and you will pay. Make no mistake about this. Make no mistake about this. If you want to leave your salah, you know that I have told you a million times the result of that. If you still want to leave it, you will pay. If you don't want to follow the ahkam of Islam with regard to the hijab, with regard to the clothing of the women and the men, you cannot tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment that this man, Yavar Beg, was not clear. You cannot say that. Allah is witness. And on the day of judgment, you will be witness whether you like it or not. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَنَخْتِمُ عَلَىٰ أَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَتُكَلِّمُنَا أَيْدِيهِمْ وَتَشْحَدُ أَرْجُلُهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. Your ears will bear witness for what they heard from me, even if your tongue wants to tell a lie. Make no mistake. Time is running out. It is running out the most for me. I have this great sense that I will not be here very long. And that is why I want to complete whatever I have to do and say what I have to say as clearly as possible, as powerfully as possible, not worrying about whether you like me or not. I say it because I love all of you. Make no mistake. I don't hate you. I love you. That is why I say this. I don't have to stand here. I do not have to stand here. I'm not an imam. I'm not a sheikh. I'm not an alim. I'm nothing. I don't have to stand here. There are people here who will give a hand and a leg, an arm and a leg and their head to come and stand here. I get nothing out of standing here. I will take nothing out of standing here, and you know this very well. Why do I do it? I do it only for one reason. And that reason is, I don't want to stand before my Rabb and answer, if he asks me, "You knew, but did you inform?" And I want to be able to say, "Ya Rab, whatever I knew, I informed." But to make you do it is not my job. And that is why please understand very clearly that if we do what we know to be wrong, we will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without a doubt. And that is the reason why, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala focused on developing this iman. This is the training that He Jalla wa Ala gave to His Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this surah. And He taught His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the tool and the secret of strengthening iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا إن ناشية الليل هي أشد إن ناشية الليل هي أشد وطعا وأقوم قيلا إن لك في النهار سبحا طويلا واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in surah, go look up the meaning yourself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the surah the secret of strengthening iman. And what is that? Qiyamul layl. Qiyamul layl. Tahajjud. Qumil layla illa qaleela. Warattilil qur'ana tartila. Stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole night except a little. And recite the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him. The famous hadith about the asbabun nuzul of this ayat of Surah Al-Muzammil, narrated by Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. She said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the first 19 ayat of this surah, and then He did not reveal the 20th, the last ayah, for 1 year. For 12 months. And she said that for 12 months, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba prayed tahajjud as if it was fard. Every day, tarbiyat is happening. The tarbiyah is happening. The muslih, the shaykh, the teacher is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. And the student is Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the students are His Sahaba, Ridwanullahi alayhi majmain. And then after 12 months, when the lesson had been well learnt, when the lesson had been practiced and practiced and practiced, when the people had seen the beauty and the value of that effort, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the last ayat of the surah. Tahajjud continued to be fard on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but for the others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ يَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ تَقُومُ أَدْنَى مِنْ ثُلُثَي اللَّيْلِ وَنِصْفَهُ وَثُلُثَهُ وَطَائِفَةٌ مِّنَ الَّذِينَ مَعَكَ وَاللَّهُ يُقَدِّرُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ عَلِمَ أَن لَّن تُحْصُوهُ فَتَابَ عَلَيْكُمْ فَاقْرَؤُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ عَلِمَ أَن سَيَكُونُ مِنكُم مَّرْضَىٰ وَآخَرُونَ يَضْرِبُونَ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَبْتَغُونَ مِن فَضْلِ اللَّهِ وَآخَرُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ فَاقْرَؤُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْهُ وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَأَقْرِضُوا اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا لِأَنفُسِكُم مِّنْ خَيْرٍ تَجِدُوهُ عِندَ اللَّهِ وَخَيْرًا وَأَعْظَمَ أَجْرًا وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. The last ayah of the surah. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now Allah knows. Because believe me, wallahi, I don't have actual data to support this, but my heart tells me. that those Sahaba who prayed tahajjud for a whole year without leaving it, never left tahajjud till the last breath left their bodies. My brothers and sisters, think about this, that if those people who are blessed to be able to listen to the Quran bi Sauti Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were blessed to listen to the Quran in the voice of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Those people who were blessed to pray salah behind Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if they had to make an effort for yaqeen to enter their hearts, if they had to work hard on their iman, imagine what you and I have to do. Imagine what you and I have to do. So stop fooling yourself. Stop believing in magic. Magic is haram. Iman will not come magically. Iman will come in proportion to how much effort we are willing to put for it. My brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us the recipe. He taught us to ask for hidayah in every single rakat of our salah. Whether it is fard, whether it is nafil, whether it is sunnah, any salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to ask, and what did he say? Ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim ghayri al-maghdubi alayhim wal-ad-dallin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught us how to ask for hidayah. He said, oh Allah, guide me to the path of steadfastness. And then further clarification, whose path is this? This is the path of the ones you guided. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, path of the ones you guided, path of the ones on whom you made your in'am, your blessings. And so the person who makes this dua, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, he makes the dua to be guided to the path of steadfastness. And whose path is that? That path is the path of Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned that in so many words. He said, Yasin wal Qur'an il hakim, innaka laminal mursaleen, ala siratim mustaqim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to his Nabi Yasin, wal Qur'an il hakim, Allah is taking an oath by the Qur'an. He said, by my kalam, by the Qur'an, Al-Hakim, which is full of wisdom, إِنَّكَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ, verily and truly and certainly, you are among my messengers. You are among the Rasul of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You are one of the messengers of Allah, and عَلَى صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ, and you are on the path of steadfastness. And what path did we ask to be guided to? The path of steadfastness. My brothers and sisters, as I mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to enter Islam fully, where he said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fis-silmi kaffa wa la tattabi'u khutuwati ash-shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. He said, O you who believe, again an ayah of hukum, O you who believe, enter into Islam fully and completely, and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan, and verily shaitan is an open and clear enemy to you. Now, think about this. See the beauty of the Quran. We heard this ayah and we said, Ya Labbaik, Ya Rabbal Alameen. O Allah, we accept your hukum. We want to follow the hukum. Please tell us how to do that. So if we say, how must I enter into Islam fully and not follow the footsteps of shaitan? What did Allah say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Laqad kana fi Rasulillahi uswatun hasana. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرَةِ وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, you want to enter into Islam fully, so follow the way of my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, in the messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have a good example, you have the best example to follow. And this is for whom? For the one who hopes in the meeting with Allah. I have mentioned this before. We only hope for something which is pleasant. Nobody hopes for Jahannam. We hope for Jannah. Nobody hopes for Azab. We hope for Thawab. Nobody, people are afraid. If you have done things to enter the Jahannam, you are hoping or not hoping is not going to make any difference. We will go there. May Allah protect us from that. But the point is, no one will hope for that. People hope only for the good. What is Allah saying? The one Yarjullaha, who has a hope to meet Allah. What does it say therefore about that person and his life? What kind of life must he or she have been leading if they want to hope for the meeting with Allah? My brothers and sisters, look at ourselves. Let us look at ourselves before it is too late. Wallahi, let us look at ourselves before it is too late. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, this is the best example for the one who hopes to meet with Allah and who hopes for the last day and remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala much. My brothers and sisters, there are two ways to guide. One is to give detailed instructions and the other one is to send someone who knows the way and say simply, follow him. Two ways to guide. If you go to somebody, the other day I went to a friend of mine, he lives near Begumpet. I didn't know his house. So he told me, just come to this place and I will send a car and just follow the car. I said, just give me the direction. He said, no need, just follow the car. Now, just follow. Following someone who knows is a far more efficient and a far more sure way of reaching the correct destination. Because if someone gives me a map, it is possible that I can misread this map. I can misinterpret the map. And I even having the map in my hand, I might still go astray. I might still go wrong. But if I am following somebody who knows the way, there is no way that I can go wrong. So we asked Allah, oh Allah, how must I enter into Islam fully? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, live your life like the life of my Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this method of guiding. Please understand, I've said this many times before. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not constrained. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't run out of words. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not writing his book subject to the approval of an editor somewhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not subjected to say you can only write 6,000 sentences, 6,000 ayat, you cannot do more than that. Nothing of the sort. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have given this Quran in 500,000 ayat if he wanted. He could have given detailed and very, very clear and specific instructions about every single thing to do with our lives. But he did not. Instead, he chose the much more powerful way. Instead, he chose the much more sure way. And what was that way? He sent the one who he taught. And he said, just do what he tells you. Just follow him. And therefore, he said, Jalla wa'ala, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَّحِيمٌ. He said, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people, if you really love Allah, then follow me. Follow my sunnah and Allah will love you and he will forgive your sins. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is most forgiving and most merciful. Our biggest need, my brothers and sisters, is for forgiveness. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised that only to the one who follows the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please understand, there is no forgiveness promised for the one who does not follow the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My brothers and sisters, following or imitating, ittiba is imitating, it is not obedience. Ita'at is obedience. Ittiba is a step beyond obedience. It is higher than obedience. Obedience you do when someone gives you an order. Ittiba you do just for the love of the person. You want to walk like him, talk like him, look like him, dress like him, wear the brand he wears, wear the kind of shoes he wears, wear the kind of cap he wears and so on. Even when it doesn't even look nice on your stupid head, you will still wear it because Michael Jackson used to wear it or Michael Jordan used to wear it. So what about the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Why do you make false claims of loving Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam when his sunnah is not visible from your face, when the sunnah is not visible from your bodies, when his sunnah is not visible in your lives, when your sunnah is not visible in how you walk and talk and dress and how you live? Why do you make false claims? Are you not afraid of the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you stand and lie in the name of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Are you not afraid? You have become so fearless that you have no problem saying these things. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that there is no guidance except the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the one who denies that has lied to himself and he has denied the Quran and he has exited Islam. My brothers and sisters, now what of the ones who do all this and who love Allah and who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves? See the beauty and majesty and grace of my Rabb. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nur, رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار. Then ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب. See the majesty, see the love, see the mercy and blessing of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Rijal, men. This is not a statement of gender. Rijal is not a man as in someone who is not a woman. Rijal is a person of honor, a person of nobility. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, who are those people? Rijalu la tulhihim tijaratan wala bay'an an dhikrillah. These are the people who neither trade nor sale nor business diverts them from the remembrance of Allah, nor from establishing salah, nor from giving zakat. They fear a day when the heart and the eyes will be overturned from the horror of the torment of the day of resurrection. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may reward them according to the best of their deeds. Think about this. What does it mean? Reward them according to the best of their deeds. What does this mean? This means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that one deed from your and my life. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this interpretation which I am saying to be true, and to accept it and to grant this to us, inshallah. It means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that one action which He accepted, and then He will give the same reward for every other deed we did. Ajeeb, eh? Maybe you made this one hajj with total and complete ikhlas, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you hajj al-mabroor. He accepted this hajj. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take that one hajj and He will give the reward of that hajj for every salah, every paisa you spent in zakat, every smile you smiled at a person, every truth you spoke, every single thing you did will be rewarded according to the reward of that hajj. Hey! And then, this is the majesty of the true King, Ta'ala Allahu al-Amthal. This is the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is not an accountant. Allah does not count. So what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say after saying all this? وَيَزِيدَهُمْ مِنْ فَضْلِ. Allah said, then He will increase even more by His fadl. Hey, Hajib. He will give all of this. And then He said, I am not bound by anybody. I am not even bound by my own generosity. I will increase that even beyond that. وَاللَّهُ يَرْزُقُ مَنْ يَشَاءُ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives without counting. Without counting. It is not becoming of the majesty of the King to count when He gives. Kings don't count when they give. Baniyas count when they give. Komtis and Chettiars count when they give. Accountants count when they give. My apologies to all the many chartered accountants who I am seeing here. Allah doesn't count. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives bighayri hisab. My brothers and sisters, think about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He said, Jalla wa ala, about those He loves. The hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where He said, narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, if Allah loves a slave of His, He calls Jibreel and says, I love so and so and therefore love him. And He, Jalla wa ala, said, so Jibreel loves him. And then He, Jibreel alayhi salam, calls out in the heavens saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so and so, therefore love him. And the inhabitants of the heaven love him. And He, Jalla wa ala, said that He, sallallahu alayhi salam, said, then acceptance is established for him on earth. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates a slave of his, the opposite of this happens. He calls Jibreel alayhi salam and says, I hate so and so, and therefore you hate him. And an announcement is made in the heavens, and all the inhabitants of the heavens hate and curse that person, and hatred for that person is established on the face of the earth. May Allah give us this tawfiq to see this in our lives. Do you and I not know? Is it not true in our own lives that there are people who are people of so-called great status and substance in society, but when we talk about them, what do we say? What do we say? I dare not repeat the kalimat because of where I am standing. When you look at our politicians, when you look at the great prime ministers and presidents, when the man goes, there are cars and motorcades and police escorts and police chase cars and gunmen and gunwomen and God knows what, everyone chasing and surrounding them. The person, the whole traffic is stopped, the entire city is blocked because this man wants to go from point A to point B. But what do the people say about that person? What do the people say about that person? And what do the people say about some waliullah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of us among his awliya, inshallah. Somebody, some quiet person is sitting in some corner somewhere. The world comes to his feet. The world comes to his feet. Maulana Abul Hasan Ali Nadwi rahmatullah alayh. I went to his house in Takiya Kalan in Rai Bareli in UP. And his khadim, he was showing me the place, and he showed me there is a takhat, there is a hard wooden bed where he used to sit, and a threadbare carpet. And he told me smilingly, he said, Indira Gandhi came to visit him when she was at the peak of her power. She came to visit Maulana. She wanted to meet him. She tried to call him. He said, you want to meet me, so you come. I don't go. So she came. And Maulana's, and this person told me, his khadim, he said, when we knew that she's going to come the next morning, so he said, we brought out another carpet, we brought out a sheet to cover this threadbare carpet. He said, Maulana got very angry. He said, nikalo ye sab bakwas, kyon bichha rahe ho? He said, take off all this nonsense. Why are you spreading all this? If she comes, she will sit where everybody else sits. No special arrangements will be made. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include him among his awliya, and may Allah fill his qabr with noor and reward him from the best of the best, inshallah. But these are the signs of the awliya of Allah. I do not make a statement to say so and so was a wali of Allah. I do not know this. It is wrong to make such statements. So I'm not making that statement. I'm just saying that these are the signs of the awliya Allah. That for them, in their eyes, there is no value for the pomp and splendor and glory of this dunya. Their value is only for what? The obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, let me end by teaching you a tool for us to test our own connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that tool is to look into our hearts. Is to look into our hearts when we are standing in salah and see what is going on. Is anything happening? Is anything happening at all? If something is happening, alhamdulillah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it happen, may Allah increase it. But if nothing is happening, it's time for us to go into sujood and to weep our tears before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when nobody can see us. Because as I said, a day will come when that time will be finished, when the door will be closed. I want to end, my brothers and sisters, with the question that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us in Surah Al-Hadid, the famous ayah where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم يعني للذين آمنوا أن تخشع قلوبهم لذكر الله وما نزل من الحق ولا يكونوا كالذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبل فطال عليهم الأمد فقست قلوبهم وكثير منهم فاسقون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked a question, and it's for us to answer this question. And the question is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Allah said, has not the time come for the hearts of those who believe to be affected by the reminder of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran, and that which has been revealed of the truth And what happens if they don't do that? What happens if we don't wake up? Allah said, lest they become like those who received the scripture, the Torah and the Injil before them, and the term was prolonged for them, so their hearts got hardened, and many of them were fasiqoon. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to soften our hearts. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His ibadah and to His obedience and to the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Please understand, a sign of the hardness of the heart is that you hear a reminder again and again and again and you still do not act upon it. Do not do this to yourself. Do not do this to yourself. If you are hearing something again and again and again and you are not acting on it, it is a sign that your heart has become hardened. Make tawbah and stop disobeying Allah and stop breaking the sunnah of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Please have mercy on yourself. Have mercy on yourself. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy on all of us. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open our hearts to His obedience. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring our lives completely and totally in obedience and in accordance with the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa alihi wa sahbihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.